אנחנו לומדים בתס.
In Tess, we're studying the 16th part on page Taf Taf Kuf Tzadik Daled, item Tzadik Daled, which is 94. Kuf Tzadik Daled, which is 194.
Yes, we're standing on page Taf Taf Kuf Tzadik Daled, which means 94, sorry, and we're studying letter 184. And we shall there's only Hebrew text for it. And we shall come back to it through the intimation. We'll come back to discussing it through intimation. Because according to the first reality, when Ima expands within Zeranpin and she crouches over the sons as the hidden mem, then Abba, if he wishes to couple with her, will also have to bow down and lower his head together with her so that he will be able to couple with her. Again, we shall come back to speaking through intimation, because according to the first reality, when Ima expands into Zeranpin and she crouches over the sons as in the hidden or closed mem, then Abba, if he also wishes to couple with her, has to bow down and lower his head down with her so that he'll be able to couple with her.
Venus
195. And the first coupling, of course, is a lot finer, because then it is the zivug, the coupling of Abba ve'ima, when they are by themselves, without clothing into anyone else at all.
Not like it said before that the Zeranpin has to clothe like the Ima.
Therefore, the newborn that is formed out of this coupling is the image of the Mochin that they bequeath to their sons, who are the Zon of Atzilut, so that the sons themselves will couple and give birth to new souls of people, human beings. Again. And the first coupling, Zivug, is of course a lot finer. The first coupling is certainly a lot finer, because then it is the zivug of Abba ve'ima, when they are by themselves, without clothing into anyone else at all. Therefore, the newborn that is formed out of that zivug is the image of the mochin, the light that they bequeath to their sons, who are Zon of Atzilut, so that the children themselves will couple and give birth to new souls for people.
Meaning Abba and Eva make a zivug above the degree of Zon, so that from the zivug, the Zon will have the power to perform a zivug and to give birth to the neshamot of Bnei Adam.
195. However, the second zivug of Abba ve'ima, lowering their head into Zeranpin and clothed in it, certainly this is not considered a complete zivug, because Abba ve'ima came down from their degree downward. And the second reason for it is that, besides this reason, that they came down from their degree, this is not enough. If it's not enough, it is also through their clothing within Zeranpin. Again. However, the second zivug of Abba ve'ima in the lowering of the head into Zeranpin, clothed in it, certainly it is not called a complete zivug, because Abba ve'ima came down from their degree. And the second reason is that, besides the first reason, which is that they came down from their degree, if that's not enough, it is also through their clothing in Zeranpin.
This is the second zivug of Abba and Ema, yeah?
197. It follows that there are two changes. The first is their descent from their degree. The second is their clothing in Zeranpin. And if so, it follows that this zivug is almost close to the zivug of Zon of Atzilut, and there's a little difference between them. Therefore, it follows that this zivug does not have the power to beget mochin for the sake of zone of Atzilut, but only for the sake of Bria. Again, it follows that there are two changes. The first one is their descent from their degree. The second is their clothing in Zeranpin. And if so, it follows that this zivug is very close to the zivug of zone of Atzilut, and there is a small difference between them. Therefore, it follows that this zivug does not have the power to beget mochin for the sake of zone of Atzilut, but only for the sake of Bria.
Meaning that Abba and Ima, they make a zivug themselves in order to awaken the zone. Then Abba and Ima, they descend to zone, they make a zivug in the place of zone, and from that there are the neshamot of Bnei Adam that come from the zone. But the zivug, as he says, that they make on the degree of zon is a very weak zivug that only helps the Olam HaBriya. What does Olam HaBriya do?
It is known that when Ima the Via over her sons, when mother crouches over her sons, her nehi expand in the entire level of Zeranpin, and her legs touch the masach and the curtain between Bria and Atzilut. It follows that Ima herself touches Bria, and she shines there. Again, it is known that when Ima crouches over her sons, her nehi expand in the entire level of Zeranpin, and her legs touch the masach and the curtain between Bria and Atzilut. It follows that Ima herself touches Bria, and she herself shines there.
Meaning, it's very beneficial that Abba and Ima of Atzilut clothe in Zon, because by Ima clothing in Zon, she really touches the Parsa, and through it can bestow onto Bria. And Ima, she's Bina, and Bria is also the attribute of Bina, only that it's beneath the Parsa, so there's connection between them. Because the light of Chassadim makes no tzimtzum on the power of Bina.
Then the drop that comes out of Abba ve'ima when they clothe within Zeranpin, of course it does not come back to raise that drop to the head of Zeranpin, the Rosh. Rather, he comes down with that Masach of Bria, and she gave them into Mochin to Abba ve'ima of Bria. Then Abba ve'ima of Bria couple, and they bequeath the crowns and the Mochin to their children, Zon of Bria, and through this Mochin, Zon of Bria couple, and they give birth to the souls of the angels of Yetzirah, because in Yetzirah is the section of the angels. Again, then the drop that comes out of Abba ve'ima when they clove in Zeranpin, of course, does not come back to raise that drop to the Rosh, the head of Zeranpin. Rather, it comes down in that Masach of Bria, and she places them as Mochin to Abba ve'ima. She gives them as Mochin to Abba ve'ima of Bria. Then Abba ve'ima of Bria couple, and they bequeath crowns and mochin to their children, Zon of Bria. Through this mochin, Zon of Bria couple, and they give birth to the souls of the angels of Yetzirah. Because in Yetzirah is the section of the angels.
So just like Zon of Atzilut give birth to the neshamot of Bnei Adam, the very same way, the neshamot of Bria give birth to the neshamot of the Malachim. Meaning, all in all, these are kelim, right?
Item 200. Indeed, the secret of this second coupling of Abba ve'ima that reaches all the way to Masach of Bria and it shines there is the secret of what is said in the tikkunim, the corrections. Ima dwells in the Kursaya. And the thing is that the Keter of Atzilut clothes in Chochmah, and Chochmah clothes in Bina. Then Bina shines in Bria, because they all certainly shine. Even the light of Ein Sof is extended there. However, only the light of Bina of Atzilut can be discerned, since it becomes a Masach and a clothing to whatever is above her. Indeed, the secret of this second zivug of Abba Ve'ima that reaches to the Masach of Bri'ah and shines there is the secret of what is said in the Tikkunim, the corrections that Ima dwells in the Kusaya. And the thing is that Keter of Atzilut clothes in Chochmah, and Chochmah clothes in Bina, and then Bina shines in Bri'ah, because they all certainly shine. Even the light of Ein Sof is extended there. However, only the light of Bina of Atzilut can be discerned, since it becomes a masach and a clothing to everything above her.
What?
No.
וזהו אימא הילאה מקננה בבריאה בקורסיה 201, and this is the upper Ima dwells in בריאה and in קורסיה in three ספירות. It means that through the force of the Gar of Gahab of Atzilut, they're all included and they dress in the upper Ima, and she later dwells in בריאה. Indeed, he says מקננה from, or she nests. From the word nest, the reason is that sitting is permanent. So he doesn't say that Ima sits in Kursaya, she only nests there, because nesting is related to the time that the birds want to couple and give birth to their offspring. And in order to protect and shield their sons, their children, they make a nest to protect them. This is the upper Ima nests in Bri'ah, in Kursaya, in three Sfirot. It means that the force of Gar Kahab of Atzilut are all included and they dress in the upper Ima, and she later on nests in Bri'ah. Indeed, he says the words nesting from a nest, and the reason is that sitting is permanent. Therefore, he doesn't say that she sits in Kursaya, she only nests there, because the word of nesting refers to the time when the birds wish to couple and give birth to offspring, and in order to shield and protect their children, they create one nest in which to protect them.
Nesting, kinon. It's impermanent zivuk.
202. And this is the secret of the second zivug, when Ima crouches over her children in order to protect them, and she nests, as it says, for he will call it a bird's nest before you. And this is that she nests in Kursaya. And when she is in the secret of Kufnun, which are the letters of Ken, nest, then she shines in Kursaya, because that second coupling is not a frequent coupling, zivug, but only sometimes, as it says, for it will be called Ken, a nest, as an incident, which is when the mother crouches for the sake of the son or the children to guard them, and you can look at the Shiluch HaKen, the sending out from the nest. Again, this is the secret of the second zivug, when Ima crouches over the children in order to protect them, and she nests there, as it says in the secret of, for it will be called a bird's nest before you. And this is that she nests in Kursaya. And when she is in that state of Ken, Kufne nest, then she shines in Kursaya. Because that second zivug is not a frequent zivug, but only sometimes, as it says, for it will be called a nest, as an incident, which is when the mother, the Ima, crouches for the sake of the children to keep them, and you can see also the sending out from the nest. 203. And you should know that all the zivugim, which are for the sake of the children, whether it is for ibur or leida, birth, or yenika and gadlut, that are called mochin, this zivug is always considered nesting for the sake of the children. This is the secret of chicks or eggs or children, which are ibur, yenika, and mochin, and you should check it there. Ibu, Yenika, and Mochin, and you should look it up there. Again, 203. You should know that all the Zivugim, which are for the sake of the children, whether it is for the sake of Ibu or Leida, or Yenika and Gadlut, that are called Mochin, This zivug is always called nesting for the sake of the children. This is the secret of chicks or eggs or children, which are ibu, yenika, and mochin. And you should look it up there. 204. Indeed, what's written that it is she's nesting in the free sphirot of Briah, it should have said that she nests in the seven sphirot. But we should say that it refers to free sphirot of Kursaya, since Ima is considered one. The root is in what I told you above, that the gar are kachab, however the ima that crouches is not bina, but only tvuna. This tvuna cloves in the upper free sphirot, and then she's nesting in the kursaya, and you should understand that. Again. Indeed, what it says that she's nesting in the three sphirot of Briah, it should have said nesting in trin sphirot, but we should reply that it refers to the three sphirot of Kursaya, since the above ima is considered one. But the root is what I've told you above, that the gar are kachab, but the ima, the mother that crouches, is not bina, but only tvuna. That tvuna dresses in the upper free sphirot, then she nests in Kursaya, and understand this.
Well, this is something that we have to scrutinize. Next.
205. Therefore, he didn't say about the free sphirot that she nests in Kutsaya, but only Ima herself. Because by herself, it is Tvuna who spreads in the Ranpin of Atzilut, and she shines in Briah. And she herself nests in Kursaya, because the free spherot do not expand, but only when she gets an illumination from them, and through them she nests in Kursaya. And from Tvuna alone come the Mochin of her children, that she expands in them as inner light, inner Mochin, and she crouches over them as Mochin of Or Makif, surrounding light. And this is why she's called a green light surrounding the world, Zon.
Please slower, again.
205. Therefore, he didn't say free sphirot that she nests in Kursaya, but only Ima herself. Because she alone is Tvuna that expands in the Ranpin of Atzilut and shines in Briah. And she alone nests in Kursaya. Because the free sphirot do not expand, she only gets an illumination from them, and by their power she nests in Kursaya. And from Tvuna alone come the Mochin of her children, that she expands in them as Opnimi, or inner Mochin, and she crouches over them as Mochin of O Makif, surrounding light. And this is why she's called the green light surrounding the world, Zon.
Tov. Namshich lachzor mala.
Should we continue? Should we repeat? Should we? What should we do? Are you following us?
Ken?
Yes. So let's continue some more.
We're on page Bet Aleph, item 206. And here it brings a certain matter for the Rabbi Gedaliah Levi. And it is that the secret of this second zivug of Abba ve'Ima is that Abba is included in the Chochmah of the Ranpin, and Ima is included in Nukva, in her Bina, and all of this is with the addition of a soul. Then the Zon coupled there for the sake of Abba ve'Ima of Briah. We'll read it again. And here it brings a certain matter of Rav Gedaliah HaLevi. And it is that the secret of this second zivug of Abba ve'Ima is that Abba is included in Chochmah of the Ranpin, and Ima is included in Nukva, in her Bina. And all of this is the addition of the soul. Then Zon coupled there they couple their fruzon for the sake of Abba ve'ima of Bria. Item 207. We'll come back to the matter. We have explained above how Imar nests in Kursaya. And if so, after the light...
Let's stop here. We have a certain picture of how it spreads from Abba and Ima down to Zon, and to Zon of Bria and Zon of Yetzirah somehow, so... From here on, it's a bit more difficult. Questions? Yes.
First of all, I want to ask why in Tess, part 6, we don't read inner light?
We will. First of all, I want to get to know the subject, at least a bit, to hear what is it about.
Another small question, when we read in all of these actions that now happened there in the world, in the Olamot, is it related to the correction of the kings that were broken, the Melachim? What are all these actions about that we just read about?
No. If you're specifically asking whether it's for the correction of the Melachim, then no, because the correction of the Melachim was already done. After the shattering of the Melachim in the world of Nikudim, the Olamot of Abia, Atzilut Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya were created, where it's possible to correct the shattering of the Melachim. Sure. That there's also the Leva Evan in these Melachim, but it'll be corrected after the Neshamot will be corrected along with the end of the correction of the Neshamot.
About what Oren just asked, the first Zivug, what we read about now, it says that the first Zivug gives birth to human beings, to people?
No, the first Zivug is in Abba and Ima themselves. Afterwards, it as if cascades to Zon, and when they're in Zon, then there they make a Zivug, arrange things there, and from there they go out to the Neshamot of Bnei Adam.
Yes, but the second Zivug in Zon, he writes that they give birth to the souls of angels.
No, the Zon of Atzilut, when they clothe in Bria, and in Bria they cause the Zivug of Zon de Bria, then from the Zivug of Zon de Bria, the Melachim are born.
So what are these angels? I wanted to ask about that.
It's all Sfirot. It's all 10 Sfirot. That's all there is. What do you think? What do you have? They have wings.
No, I mean, I imagine that people, that's already a soul that...
It's a matter of degree. There's a difference between a horse and a man. Did you ever see a horse? Yes. You also saw a man. Is there a difference between them?
I understand that there is something that is without free choice and there's something that has free choice.
Right.
But what is an angel in that...
Ten Sfirot. That the Malach only sustains himself without any free choice, the way he's being operated, where everything else besides the Neshamot of Bnei Adam, all of them are in order to help Bnei Adam to reach choice, meaning those that can reach choice. Because also among the Neshamot of Bnei Adam, there are those that can, those that can't, and it all happens gradually. Of course, it's all with regards to those that are drawn to correction, push to correction, and it's all around them. Yeah.
It seems that these two zivugim is our whole reality. They operate our whole reality, you know, in all respects.
There are others, but okay, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if I can ask, but can you say how is this expressed in us or inside of us?
We're unrelated to the system. Unrelated.
For sure, it influences us. That's not a question, right? It seems to me that's not even a question. At least that's how I was relating to it.
How does it influence you?
Everything starts there. And what we do here awakens these zivugim up there.
Where are you? You're talking about the neshamot, or you're talking about us? This I don't get.
I'm talking about us, when we connect and...
We are in klipa. And also, what kind of klipa? It's not the klipa that's vis-a-vis to the kedusha, but it's kind of waste.
When we do something, like you said, this morning we did something good, it does give contentment to the Creator.
Relative to one's degree, then yes, but yeah, good.
So in such an action, does it reach all the way up and it comes all the way down, this whole process?
Yes.
Great. So can you explain to some degree how these vugim, these couplings affect us?
No, it's all still through the mekifim. It's not... We don't act directly. Do you have a masach? Do you have reshimot? Do you elevate them? Do you participate in the zivugim? Do you raise man to Abba ve'ima? Do you want to connect? Where is that? The initial correct request for connection already activates Abba and Ima, Chochma and Bina, on all the degrees, up to Ensof. But it's a request for connection. Connection can be only where you're asking, when you're asking to concede yourself. Because only at the expense of that, can there be a chibur connection?
So from this study, beyond something general, I can take something from there and bring down practical things to the work, for the work?
Practically, you have what to do, please. Connect. Bring man, which is from zon. Zon is really, it's a connection, it's a 10. First and foremost, it's a 10. And then, when it's related to the system, it begins to be an ibor, inikam, ochin, and so on. We're close to that, but we're still unrelated to it.
So what do I take out of this study? Because the way that I feel, I'm actually impressed, I'm inspired. It's not that I understand something, but I'm truly excited, inspired.
Yeah, because there's something about it that's close to us.
So I'm asking about this close. I mean, what can we take from it, or just let it flow and try to go with it?
Connect as soon as possible. And then we'll enter a state where we'll read this, and for us it's going to be like a manual's guide. Technical manual's guide, what to do, really. Let's hope that we'll reach these actions. Yeah?
Eli from Bat Yam is asking, it was said that Abba ve'Ima come down to Zon for Zivug. It seems that he talks mostly about the actions that Ima does, and Father takes part less in it.
I don't want to get it. It's speculations. More than Abba, less than Abba. Sure, Abba and Ima, they're different, each according to his own role, and each completes the other. These are systems. Chochma and Bina, each has a role of its own in their mutual action.
We're now talking about actions of Ima, and they hardly mention the actions of Abba. That's what it means.
Abba clothes in Ima, yeah.
Okay. Yerichom Haifa is asking, can you explain about the nest and the sending out from the nest? Shiluach HaKen. We talked about the Ken, nest, and it says that Ima nests in Kursaya. Before that...
We're talking about the Torah and the Book of Zohar and the rest of the Kabbalah books. It speaks kind of more or less here and there. Kinun is zivug, only not frequent. So this is how it's called. That's it. There's nothing mystical about it. You understand what zivug is? Masach, oviyut, or chozer, all these things, the calculation. So if these zivugs aren't permanent, but on and off, then it's called that it's an infrequent zivug.
This is the nest?
That's called kinun, yes. Like a bird comes to her nest and leaves and comes back and leaves and again brings something to her chicks that she has to raise them there. Please, I'm asking you. Let people ask.
Yair from Haifa is asking, why do they describe the creation of the angels after the creation of men?
In the wisdom of Kabbalah, like all other Kabbalists, he talks from Ensof, from the Creator, how all of creation spreads down to our world, and afterwards, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it doesn't speak beyond that. Afterwards, it already speaks about man's work from below up. So, all the books, they speak only about the descent, as if from above down, the way the olamot, parzufim, sefirot, and so on, cascade. Therefore, it starts from Bnei Adam, then the neshamot of the malachim, then the ruchot, shadim, and until it reaches all the klipot and the corrupted kelim. Right? Good.
Atzilut shines below the parsa. This is what it sounded like.
Yes, Atzilut shines beneath the parsa, because otherwise there would have not been a vital force in the worlds of Bia. This is something that we explained about in the letter Kuf, that the letter Kuf, its form, it cascades beneath the Parsa and gives illumination to the worlds of Bia. Besides that, there's the power of the Atik from the word Ne'etak, disconnects from the world of Atzilut, of attainment. It's Tzimtzum Aleph, even though that it is in the Olam of Atzilut. And from the general Tabor of Galgalta until the Siyum, until the end, and therefore it shines in the two lower parts of Tiferet and beneath, especially Netzach and Hod, beneath the Parsa, and by that gives illumination to the worlds of Bia. And from that comes an awakening to the Neshamot, to the Malachim, and they come and ascend to the world of Atzilut, and there they begin to correct and Liz Daveg perform a zivug, meaning to receive in order to bestow.
But it is not a light that the worlds receive in the ascent of the worlds when they rise above the parsa. It's not the same light.
No, no. It's an illumination that can shine to the broken kelim that we suppose get a certain awakening. Suddenly you feel like it. You have a certain awakening from the Gedusha that you want to know what's above, why, what for, the meaning of life above the bay. You get this illumination from the Sof end of Atik that shines beneath the Parsa, where the Olamot of Bia are, and where the Neshamot, the broken Neshamot are, the uncorrected Malachim, all the Kelim, all the broken Kelim. Klipa. Klipa already being something more powerful, higher. A klipa has connection with the Creator in an opposite form through the posterior, but there's a kind of acquaintance, there's something, therefore it has power. We don't. In the meantime, Rachamim.
Sheila, again?
Question, right?
I have so much to ask, I don't know.
One question and a question, and not that you're going to give us.
Rav, how does inner light. No, sorry. Istaklut primit and inner light in Tess, through an effort of many years, give a person attainment?
Yes, I don't know. I really don't. How does opnimi, istaklut pnimit, in a reflection after many years gives a person attainment? I can't tie all these things together to something that'll be clear. Really, I can't. Try again.
Why only self-annulment? Only self-annulment can and is capable of bringing you to something. Only that.
Good question. There is no other action from the bottom of the line and up to the top of the line, the end of the upper line, besides annulment. There isn't. Even if we say that yenika, mochin, different actions of gatlut and so on, we do them all every time upon the annulment in its different forms and manners, different combinations, compounds of the will to receive, but it's always annulment because you allow the work, the light to work, and that's it. And always.
Rav, does a person attain beyond the root of his soul or only up to the root of his soul?
Good question. Today?
The Creator is with me today.
Good? No, I'm telling you seriously. The questions are... A man starts at least working in the direction of spirituality according to the root of his soul, and on the way, along the way, it depends on what does he do with himself. It's possible that he has an exalted root of the soul, but he loses it. He loses the neshama, and it's being replaced, swapped, and maybe to the contrary. If he reaches the correct society, because still, there is free choice here, and he is an integrated, and he wants to advance with them, and he makes someone small out of himself, not with his big brains, then there is the ibu of the neshamot. And then he can ascend to much higher degrees than his soul, neshama, was to begin with. It's as if you were riding on a cart and suddenly you jump on a missile.
How does a person know how much effort to put in? Everything is achieved through effort. From my experience, I know it.
Mister, as much as you can. It's limitless. Unlimited. It's not a question. As much as you can. No limitations.
Thank you. From today on, I'll kind of tear myself up.
Good luck, and keep yourself. What's with you? You're all arranged. Settle down.
Rav, we have no more than 10 sefirot. So, how does tvuna clove in those 10 sefirot? Because seemingly it's a part of Bina, or...
Tvuna is that of Bina. This what you mean?
Yeah. He writes in letter 204 that tvuna replaces Bina in some way.
Yes, because Bina itself, garde Bina, it can't clothe. We're talking about Ima, then we're talking about Bina, that her part that takes care, that gives birth, in short, the lower third of Bina. This is the place of the Zivug and the birth. Afterwards, if so, then it rises higher, but also it's all in Tvuna.
So it's possible to say that Tvuna sometimes replaces Bina?
If we're talking about Zon, then we're always talking about Tvuna. B'tzelem Elokim bara et Adam. B'tzelem, he has created, the Creator created man in his image. B'tzelem. Tzelem, it's from beneath up, Mem Tzadik Lamed, and it's all in that Tvuna. B'tzelem. So, we have another 40 minutes left. What are we doing?
Shofar shel Mashiach, bakasha. The Messiah's horn. Okay, sure. So we will be reading in Kabbalah for the Student, page 155, the Messiah's shofar horn. Reading again, Kabbalah for the Student, page 155, the Messiah's shofar. Amit is here. I think I saw him now. Can you give us some review, not today when you're ready, maybe 10 minutes, about the general economical situation, not of Israel, but in the world? What even now you're ready. Oh, one and a Victor, sorry. If you're ready, maybe you can give it to us. Not that now we are going to start trading on the stock market, but, you know, a free fall or a sharp ascent, where are we? What's the situation? What is the direction? Where are we heading? Yes. You want it in the form of questions and answers, or should I just start? Do you want to ask a question, or what? For questions, we need to understand already what it's about. Okay, so we now passed a decade from the economical crisis of 2008. You can divide things into two. Essentially, many of the illnesses, many of the negative phenomena, and certainly not only the symptoms, but the true problems of the crisis were not taken care of and will not be taken care of. Why? Rav asks. Because they found a way to make profit of the symptoms. That we can understand. The wealth, the richness of the upper percentile in Europe and in the States of the big corporations is breaking records. So economy is now divided into two. Economy for those who make who profit from the system, and they are now in the best state they were ever in, and the economy for the rest of them. And the statistics, they lie. Even in Israel, you can see it. For example, the average salary in Israel today is close to 11,000 shekels. Sounds good. But the median salary, which means that half of the population is making less than that, that's less of 6,000 shekels. So half of the people in Israel make less than 6,000 shekels and they live off that. But the statistics are wonderful. So they found a way to survive in a system where many people suffer and very few become rich. And that's what it looks like. In terms of the economical state itself, the United States, they have great statistics now. There is unemployment is at the bottom level of 50%. They're growing. They even started raising the interest. When they start raising the interest, it means that the economy, the market is in a positive direction, and you need to kind of keep it down so it won't go wild. The average salary, the minimum salary in the States is going up. Amazon and other companies, Disney and other companies have decided that, you know, you can be a pig, you know, only to that far. And also we're coming, there are elections coming and it has an influence. So they raised the minimum salary from $10 an hour, $15 an hour. This considered the salary that Americans can live with. Hardly, but they can live with it, make a living. The trade war is hurting the U.S., but for the time being, you can't see it. For the time being, the momentum is positive. There are also economies that are suffering a lot from this situation. China has lost its momentum after many years that it was growing. It has lost its momentum in that the trade war is hurting it and will hurt it, even though it's trying to compensate somehow. Russia is also in a really bad state. Again, it depends on the price of the oil, but if the oil price would not climb, the situation would be even worse. Europe seems to be heading towards another crisis, but this is an ongoing situation. There are also the central bank that was supporting the economy and holding it artificially throughout the years has reached the end of its ability, and it's lowering its support a little bit. And what's going to happen without the support of the Central European Bank, we don't know. And there are a few countries that were always in the headlines. Greece, again, the crisis is starting, and Finland, and all kinds of small countries that are symptoms for the general phenomenon. What's important for the time being is that the big corporations, there is really a regime of corporations, the big companies, they're in a fantastic state, the best they ever were, with all of the different stories we have, Microsoft, Amazon, of course, and others, are simply flourishing and making their executives and the stockholders rich. That's, if you want more details, I'll send it to you.
So we should buy Amazon stock.
I understand what you're heading at.
I'll tell you, a year ago, I wrote a column that was publicized in the external newspaper that explained that Amazon is causing a catastrophe in the retail segment. But because the system is integral, everything will come back to it. You can't hurt the population without hurting it in return. When I wrote that the stock price of Amazon was about $900, today it's $1,800. So my recommendations in investment is something that you don't want to rely on.
Okay, everything's clear. Who paid you?
No, it was pure dissemination.
Okay, but a bit forward, you see that this is how it's going to continue, or is there a kind of obstacle in this process?
There are many warning signs there. People who are, you know, foresee dark and...
That's how it always is. Some see it this way, some see it that way, but is there really something objective that we are on the verge of a problem?
There are many of them, but after what happened in the crisis of 2008, when we said that the world was on the verge of an economical catastrophe, and it managed to pull itself out. You can't say they didn't. They pulled themselves out. It was done artificially and with many damages, but they succeeded so long as there's no meaning for the debt. So long as you can simply inject money and the debt seemingly is unrelated to anything, it will never be paid, and nobody cares that it will never pay it back. It's hard for me to see something that will shatter the system in a way that it will bring it out of balance completely. There are many warning signs that are saying that going to be a crisis in 2019, 2020. Economists can't even tell what's going to happen 2 days ahead. How can they talk about 2 years ahead? So,
what can we say about China?
China has pretty much finished its process of inner growth that was caused from urbanization, from a process in which from an agricultural society they became a society that has high consumerism and
inner market.
They finished growing in that sense, in that direction. The engine of China that was an internal engine alongside the external growth, the inner engine kind of shifted down. They have many problems also. It's an economy that is held artificially by artificial debt and all kinds of bubbles, building bubbles and banking bubbles. And now the Chinese regime is trying to kind of take care of them and rein down this artificial growth. So it is more and more dependent on what is happening in the world. And here Trump is standing before their eyes with his principles and making life very difficult for them. And it's hard for them to enjoy their external growth engine. So if you take the internal growth engine, which is in a descent, and you realize that outside it's also hard for them to grow, this picture is not very positive.
Good. That's it. The world doesn't feel that something's coming up, tsunami.
You say a lot that the upcoming crisis that we're heading towards a growth crisis, and one of the engines is an economical one. For the time being, you cannot see it.
Okay. So let's hope for the Messiah. Let's study Messiah.